I was talking earlier this afternoon about the effort, Jay Inslee, Patty Murray, Joe Biden. They all want to remove dams from the Snake River here in Washington. And what does that mean for our economy? What does it mean for fish habitat? It's an interesting dilemma to have. Here's what I do know, though. When you look around the world, countries that are starting to cave into the Green New Deal movement, countries like Sri Lanka, which is in absolute chaos. The president has fled the country. Worst chaos in 70 years. People are starving. And that was after they caved into some radical green activists and destroyed their economy. Nobody knows where the president is. He's in exile right now. But we're starting to see the impacts of these Green New Deal movements on countries around the world. So, is this just another pursuit of green activism, or is there more to it than that? Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
So as I said, Joe Biden, Jay Inslee, Patty Murphy, they're all on board. They all want to remove dams from the Snake River. And now the Bonneville Power Administration's come out with a report. And obviously, they have a vested interest in this to continue with the dams. But it's rather shocking, the details and the numbers. Perry Dozier is a Republican state senator from Eastern Washington. He joins us live here on the Dory Monson Show. Senator, good to talk to you this afternoon.
Dory, thank you so much. This is actually fantastic to be able to talk to you about these dams because I grew up when the dams were being built just 20, 35 miles away from me. So I got a lot of history here.
Okay, well, I want to hear the perspective of that history. Here's what I know. I've seen the report from the BPA, and it says that energy costs could go up as much as 18%. Here in our state, if these dams are removed. Do you believe those numbers?
Yeah, without a doubt, I do. I don't know how you're going to be able to replace the amount of energy that just these four dams produce right now. And in a way, because these dams can produce energy 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. When needed. We never worry about brownouts, blackouts, or anything here. Also, because not only these dams, you look at the other ones that are on the Columbia River, Dory, and we're able to bring in businesses into central Washington, the Moses Lake area, to benefit our economy because we have a lower cost of electrical energy for them because of what we have here. So are we going to start taking that away and continue to degrade the economic impacts to our state?
Well, I will tell you, Senator, my wife and I used to have a place on the Columbia River in Douglas County. And the cost of energy over there is such a tiny fraction of what we have to pay to Seattle City Light out here. I mean, if people in the Seattle City Light billing area, if they had any idea just how wonderful it is in central Washington and southeast Washington, they'd be amazed at just how much we're paying out here.
You know, Dory, you brought up a good point there. So we're talking about Seattle City and Light. Obviously, there's three dams on the Skagit River. None of them have fish passage. And those dams were constructed between 1918 and 1949, I believe it was. And it supplies the city of Seattle or the Seattle area with 20% of their electrical. But there is no fish passage. So why aren't we even looking at those three dams that have no fish passage, yet what we have done here, when these dams were constructed on the Lower Snake River, the four of them, began in the mid-1950s. The first dam was completed in 1962, the last in 1975, and we had fish passage, and we've done advancements with fish passage to continue to have that flow what we need. We have the same thing in Idaho where they have no fish passage on some of their dams, but we are targeting the lower Snake River dams right now.
Okay, and I've heard from the other side on this too. I've dear friends mm-hmm. who are in the fishing industry or recreational fishing industry. Their top priority is the salmon, and they believe that without question, it would help the salmon run if these dams were breached. So how do you counter their arguments?
Right now, I actually, about a month ago or 6 weeks ago, had a tour, an Eastern Washington legislative tour, and we had some of our West Side legislators on this tour. We started in Clarkston, Idaho. We went down Clarkston, Washington, went down the Snake River through the Lower Granite Dam, and we got to experience some of what the advancements are on our dams. So they were getting ready to fill a barge with smolts that are going to be returning to the Pacific Ocean. And so what they do is they take these barges, they fill them with the smolts, they go down through the river at every single dam where they can collect them. And what they do is they circulate the water, because these smolts have to have a signature to come back to where they're going to spawn. And then they release them below Bonneville Dam. And there's a 95 to 98% survival rate of these smolts being released below the Bonneville Dam. At that point, we have predation that is not even addressed in what's going on. So we are doing, I believe that the advancements that have been done on the Four Snake River dams are unbelievable. And you got to remember, I mean, if you really want to breach these four dams, you want to return everything here in Southeast Washington to the 1950s, because that's when these dams were starting to be built.
And are we talking about, because I've heard tale that in southeastern Washington that the farm, or that the land was not farmable because there just wasn't enough irrigation water, and now it's pretty rich and lush and productive.
You're absolutely correct there. So like I say, where I grew up here, just 45 miles east of the Tri-Cities. And so Western Walla Walla County basically was very, very, very arid. You could maybe barely raise wheat on it, and then they would graze sheep, and then you couldn't graze them during the summer because it was so arid. So if you look at the Ice Harbor Dam, which was completed in 1962, it probably has the largest pond behind it for irrigation, which irrigates, it's a Sacagawea pond, which irrigates 70,000 acres. I've watched the transformation of this. Like I say, I grew up during the time of this, into the most productive farm ground in the state. Now, if you look at that, we also have the largest apple orchard in the United States right there, just right above Ice Harbor Dam. If you look at what the loss is going to be, because you will lose that irrigation ability, and this is what is really not emphasized enough, is I read in some of these reports, well, you only need to drill the well down another 100 feet. Well, reality is that you don't, because what we have is a series of pools that back up, Dory. And so we have that permeating water. We haven't even talked about the loss of the economics revenue for the state of Washington with losing
that. Here's where I'm just really skeptical. Jay Inslee and Patty Murray, they requested a report on what it would cost to remove these dams. The report said, and you're one of the authors of this op-ed in the Seattle Times, the report said it would cost between $10 billion and $27 billion. What kind of a report has a cost estimate with a 170% margin of error between $10 billion and $27 billion? That's a massive difference. And I don't know too many people in the professional world who could have that kind of a stretch between the low and high cost of this.
And that's why I say everything is underestimated in this story. You know, 20 years ago, Senator Patty Murray requested I speak before the Senate Subcommittee on Transportation when I was back in Washington, D.C. I was the state president of Washington Association of Wheat Growers, and she wanted me to talk about the benefits of the three modes of transportation that we have here in Washington State, which is road, river, and rail. And obviously, we have river transportation, which keeps many vehicles off of the road and does not put as much emissions into the air, because one barge of wheat going down the Columbia River adds up to 135 trucks. And so she was promoting our three modes of transportation. Here we are 20 years later, and she wants to take away one of our modes of transportation. Well, we know what the transportation budget was, or bill that was passed this year was $17 billion, and there was nothing for Eastern Washington.
Let me ask you, because I don't understand that.
Yeah.
It's probably just my lack of knowledge on this. But how would breaching the dams eliminate the river as a mode of transportation? It would seem to make it even more navigable.
No, it's not navigable, because right now it's kept at a constant depth.
Oh, it's too free-flowing as well? Is that why?
Without the dams? Once you free-flow, so if you think about most of our rivers during the course of the summer, what do? Their water levels go down, because as the snowpack melts, we have lower water levels. If you have lower water levels and you want to continue with fish runs, I'm an irrigated farmer, and so I understand this real well. When you get low water levels, you're not allowed to pump out of the river, because we have to keep a certain amount
This all makes sense to me. Yeah, that's why I asked the question. And do these dams have locks for the barges to get through?
Yes, they do. All four dams have locks. They have fish ladders. They have advanced with turbines now that are so-called fish-friendly turbines. They are not chewing up the fish like they used to. If you, again, you go back, that these have been in place for 60 years, and we have the engineering expertise and advancements that we have made to continue to serve both the needs of navigation, of irrigation, of power, and also being able to transport the salmon in a way that we can get the returns back.
Okay, and I got you. Okay, I'm learning a lot here. So here's the bottom line. I'm trying to figure out how our green governor, who all he cares about is the climate. He doesn't care about crime in the state. He doesn't care about the record taxation. All he cares about is the climate. Hydroelectric's a green energy source. Energy prices will go up if these dams are breached. And yet, I just don't know, Senator, how our electrical grid, if we remove dams, wind and solar are not ready to handle the bulk of our electric grid. We're not even close. We're not even a decade away from wind and solar being able to handle that kind of capacity. So that's what I don't understand the far left wanting to do this, if it drives up prices for consumers, and it could make us, like you mentioned a few minutes ago, the rest of the country is dealing with brownouts and blackouts as we get rid of coal-fired plants and we refuse to embrace nuclear, which is a safe, clean energy. And the things that are being talked about seem very frightening to me.
You know, Dory, if you look at even on the NASA, so we are now energy dependent again for whatever fossil fuels that are coming in. We've seen our price of fuel go out the roof. We just saw our president over in the Far East, you know, trying to get them to pump more oil. So are we going to then be is this state going to be reliant on other places to supply our energy, because we are getting rid of a cost-effective, what I would say, a green energy in being the dams, just because we think it's the right thing to do? And then what's that going to do again for the economy of the state?
Well, and as I said at the very beginning, if we look at what's happening around the world to the countries that are going on bended knee to the climate activists, it is having disastrous economic consequences. And, you know, in the case of places like Sri Lanka, it's cataclysmic economic consequences. And I worry about how short-sighted people like Joe Biden and Jay Inslee and Patty Murray are on issues like this. Well, I learned a lot here talking to you. I appreciate you taking the time, Senator, and I want to stay on top of this issue, because I do think it's an important one for everybody.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the time spent with you today. Thanks, Dory.
You got it. All right. Senator Perry Dozier from Eastern Washington joining us.